The following message was preached from the pulpit of Bible Baptist Church, Oak Harbor, Washington.
Well, this morning, if you'd take your Bibles, I would invite you to turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. And I believe we'll take the time this morning to read the entire chapter, although I'll be preaching from just a portion of this chapter. But 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the Bible says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there shall be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." And many of you know that this is what we sometimes refer to as the love chapter of the Bible. Certainly it is the place that you would turn to, I think, first if you were to think about love or charity as it's referred to here. And from the standpoint of going through the book of 1 Corinthians, the placement of this chapter, I think, is very, very significant. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we have the gifts, the spiritual gifts is introduced as a subject, and these are the gifts and gifted men that the risen Christ has given to his churches. It's somewhat the enumeration of those gifts. And then we go to chapter 14, and we find here the exercise of these gifts, the use of these gifts, and what the Bible has to say about that. But right here in the middle, chapter number 13, really tells us the way in which these gifts are to be exercised. It is the more excellent way that is spoken of in the last part of verse number 31 of chapter 12. And this more excellent way is the way of charity. This word charity is the translation of the Greek word agape. And this is the kind of love that is self-sacrificing. It is the love that is unconditional, not seeking anything in return. It is the highest form of love, and it is the love of God. And what the Bible is telling us here by putting chapter number 13 in between these two chapters of dealing with the subject of spiritual gifts is the fact that the exercise of our spiritual gifts must be controlled by the fruit of the Spirit. And if you look at the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, the first fruit is that of love. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. These are the fruits that the Spirit of God will work in and through our life and out of our life. As a tree would pop forth with its fruit in the time before harvest. So we as Christians, as we are led by the Spirit and as we walk in the Spirit, these are the things that he will produce in our life. And love is at the beginning. Love is at the top. And the exercise of these gifts must be through love. This was a problem with the church at Corinth. Of course, they had the spiritual gifts. The Bible says that they came behind in no gift. They had them all. But the problem was that they were flaunting those gifts. They were using them in a way that was anything but charitable. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 5 that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And we know that the Bible teaches when you are born again, when you are saved the Bible way, that immediately, instantaneously, as part of salvation, you receive the Holy Ghost. You receive the Spirit of God who lives within us. We're under new management, and he wants to guide us. He wants to lead us. And if we will submit to his direction and leadership through the Word of God, then those fruit will appear. We're told here in the first part of chapter 13 that spiritual gifts that are exercised without love are rendered ineffective. I could speak with silver-tongued oratory. I could sway the crowds with the way that I put words together. But if I have not love, if I have not charity, if I'm not speaking the truth in love, as the Bible says, then the Bible says in verse 1, I'm nothing more than a tinkling cymbal, which in my mind, in context of an orchestra, is probably the least of all the instruments. Somebody gets to tinkle the cymbal maybe once or twice during a whole piece. I might have deep Bible knowledge. I might be able to understand the Word of God and have a real knowledge of that, and that's a wonderful thing. But if I'm not exercising that gift in a way of charity or love, then the Bible says I'm nothing. Verse number 2 tells us that. Or I could give philanthropically. I could give money to great causes and needy causes and so forth. I could even die for a cause. And there are people who have given up their life for some cause that they are passionate about. But the Bible says if I don't have charity, it's of no profit in verse number 3. Well, this morning, as we wend our way through these chapters, I want to speak on the quality of love. And so I'm going to base my text for this morning really on verses 4 through 7. And here we have the characteristics or the quality of charity. Now we ask, well, what is this? Well, the Bible tells us that these are the characteristics that you would expect to see. And most of them, by the way, are given in the negative of telling us what charity or love is not. But I want to say this, that love is more than just a concept. It's more than just something that we can talk about. Love is an action word. I've said before, in way of illustration, that if I said to my wife, I love you, I'm sure she would appreciate hearing those words. And if that's all I did every day, I just said, sweetheart, I love you. I love you. I love you. After a while, she might begin to think, well, he's saying it, but what's he doing about it to show that love? And of course, we express love by what we do and how we do it. And that's the point here, as we see in verses 4 through 7. This is a 15-fold description giving us the characteristics of love. And we could apply this passage in a number of different ways. In fact, one of the things I struggled with in preparing this message was, how am I going to preach it? Because you could preach it on a number of different ways. First of all, there is the contextual application. As I've already mentioned, the church at Corinth, which had the spiritual gifts, but many in that church were flaunting them and they were puffed up because of the gift that they had. And instead of using them for the purpose that God intended, they were just building themselves up. And there's a lot of preaching we could do there, and I think you understand if you've been listening to the messages over the months from 1 Corinthians, that here's a church that had a lot of problems. It was a very carnally minded church. It wasn't spiritual, and Paul is writing to them to point them to the way that they need to go. So we could preach this passage just by looking at the context. We could also look at this description of love to better understand the love of God. You know, there are four statements in the Bible, in the New Testament, as to what God is. God is. In John chapter 4 and verse 24, the Bible says God is a spirit, which would be a declaration of his essence. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, the Bible says God is light, and in him is no darkness. That would be a declaration of his holiness. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 29, the Bible says that God is a consuming fire, which would be a declaration of his righteousness. But I would like you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to 1 John, right toward the back of the Bible. And 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 8, there is another statement here as to what God is. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 8, the Bible says, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." God is love. And it goes on to tell us that God didn't just look down, as it were, on this planet and look at fallen humanity in all of its misery and say, "Well, I love you." Well, that doesn't do anything. So God commended or proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Look on in verse 9 here in chapter 4, and this was manifested. This was made known. The love of God was made known toward us because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Well, God proved his love. And we could preach from 1 Corinthians 13 and just talk about the love of God and the characteristics of that love, because every one of these would apply to the love of God in Christ. Well, we don't have time to do that, and I would challenge you in your private study to do that, just to go down that list and think of the scriptures that talk about the Lord and the love of God. And you'll find that his love is sacrificial love. His love toward us is unconditional. He asks nothing in return. It's a pure love. It's benevolent. It's compassionate. And we could go on, and we could apply these 15 characteristics to our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Then there's another way we could preach this passage, and that is we could make the application introspectively by looking at ourselves. We could look at it from the point of view of our marriages or our home life, because the Bible says to husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church. So we could go down this passage as husbands and say, okay, love or charity is long-suffering. It suffereth long. Is that me as a husband? Very convicting when you do that. In Titus chapter 2 and verse number 4, it talks to the women, the younger women who are to be taught to love their husbands and to love their children. And so if we say, well, how do I love my husband? How do I love my children? Am I patient? Am I kind? And so forth. And you could go down the list and make that application to the relationships that you have, particularly in the home, but beyond the home as well. Or you could just look at yourself. Your testimony as a believer is the love of Christ radiating through my life. You know, as we run down this list of characteristics and apply them to either God or to our home life or to ourselves or the use of the gifts, I would encourage you to do that. You could just substitute the word. If you look, for example, in Verse number 4, instead of charity, put the word God or Christ. Christ suffereth long and is kind. Christ envieth not. But you could also put yourself there. I suffereth long. I'm long-suffering. I'm kind. And you can go down that list. I'll tell you, it can be very, very convicting. But it's an exercise that we all should do from time to time. In fact, when we counsel young couples who are preparing for marriage, and of course you talk about love, and a young couple typically come and they say, oh, we're in love. We're so much in love. And I say, well, let's understand what love really is. It's more than just a passion of feeling or a desire for the other person. It's a lot deeper than that. And we go down that list, and I think there's an exercise for the couples, each independently, to put I am and put those 15 characteristics. And then we ask the question, where are you coming short? What needs to be worked on before you get married? So all of these things we could do. And I would also say that since we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, see if you can find in those 15 characteristics the 9 fruit of the Spirit. I think they're there. Like I said, we could preach on this probably for 5 weeks, and I'm not going to do that. I'll just take a couple of hours today. So I wouldn't do that. But I want to speak on the characteristics of charity, and 15 of them, and I want to consider them very, very briefly. Just talk about some, make an occasional comment on them. So let's go down the list. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 4, the first characteristic or quality of charity, this sacrificial love, is that charity suffereth long. In other words, love is long-suffering. It's patient. It doesn't become impatient when it's tested or when it's wronged or even when it's frustrated by others. We know that God is long-suffering to us. We're told that in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, and also in Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, that God put up with a lot in dealing with you and me, because we were rebels, we were sinners, and yet God loved us and he kept loving us, and he drew us in the cords of love toward himself, and those of us who have believed, he saved our soul. That's long-suffering. Well, we're supposed to be long-suffering too. Some of us have some issues with that, I suppose. Husbands, are you long-suffering toward your wife? Mom, are you long-suffering toward your children? Soul winner, are you long-suffering when dealing with lost people? Patience is a virtue. Number 2, charity is kind, kindness. As I said, love is active and love expresses itself in acts of goodness. Love is never cruel or critical. And yet sometimes even Christians can fall into the trap of tearing shreds off people, usually not to their face, but nonetheless not saying nice things or kind things. You know, there is a need for kindness. I know it's become part of the furniture, but Brother Jeremiah put a sign up there that says, kindness is spoken here. And it ought to be. We ought to be kind in our interactions one with another. Number 3, charity envieth not. Love is never jealous. You know, jealousy is a form of emotional selfishness. It may not be covetous, like I want that, but we can become jealous because somebody has that. And that can affect us. Jealousy really is an emotional thing, and our emotions can play havoc with our health, with our well-being, and our testimony. Number 4, charity vaunteth not itself. That tells us that love never brags or boasts. There's a lot of boasting that goes on today. You know, the Bible says in the last days, men shall be boasters, and we get a lot of that on social media today, where people are basically saying, look at me. And they boast about this and that, and seeking the limelight. I mean, love is not interested in me being the center of attention. As a Christian, love demands that Christ be the center of attention through my life. Now, obviously, I'm there and part of it, but really it's a matter of priority. And yet, so many today are boasting. Love, it vaunteth not itself. Number five, charity is not puffed up. This was a problem with the Corinthians. They were puffed up like a bullfrog. But, you know, love is not conceited. Love is not prideful. Anything that we can do and do well is to the glory of God. The talents that we have, the gifts that we've been given, that's all from God. Either he created us with talents or he has endowed us with spiritual gifts, and they come from him, and all the glory should go to God. We need to be careful that we're not puffed up. Number six, charity doth not behave itself unseemly. Charity is never coarse or rude or impolite. Number seven, charity seeketh not her own. Meaning that charity or Christian love is never occupied with self, but occupied with others. What can I do for others? Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4, Paul admonishes the church there in Philippi with these words, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Now, as husbands, as men, we have a responsibility to look on the things of our own homes. We've got to take care of our wife and our children. We've got to provide for them. And all of those things are commanded in the Word of God. But not to the degree that that's all that matters, and we shut ourselves off, our bowels of mercies, as the Bible calls it, from others. We don't care about that. No, we should be caring about the needs of others. And if we see a brother or a sister who is in need or is hurting, we ought to do what we can to meet that need, to alleviate it. Charity does not seek its own. And really, we can see by this that the opposite of this charity or this love, this agape love, the opposite is selfishness. And you could apply that to the whole idea of love that's presented here, that it's either selfishness, which is centered on me, or charity, which is centered on the love of God. A theologian said that if you cure selfishness, you've just replanted the Garden of Eden. I thought that was an interesting thought. Charity is not easily provoked. Love is not touchy or ill-tempered or with a short fuse. Sometimes we have to deal with those in our life. We blow up at the slightest provocation. Well, if we allow the Spirit of God to work in our life, he'll work out those problems and get rid of them, and we can become people who are calm and collected. The Bible does say that we can be provoked by things that are wrong. The Bible says, for example, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26, "Be ye angry and sin not, neither let the sun go down upon your wrath." So there is some things that we can be very upset about, very angry with, when it's not people, but it's sin. This same theologian said, "I am determined so to be angry as not to sin, therefore to be angry with nothing but sin." And sometimes it's referred to as righteous indignation. But remember this, beloved, that for all the ills that we see in our country, it's not the people that we should be angry with, but it's what's being done. With all the false religions that are out there, it's not the people who are engaged in that or involved in that, it's the doctrines that are being perpetrated. If you're going to get mad at things that are not true and things that are wrong. Number nine, charity thinketh no evil. Love sees the bright side of things. Love is not suspicious or will ascribe unfounded motives to things that are said. Oh, well, You know, she did this, but I know really this is what she's thinking. How do you know? Love doesn't make snap judgments and always sees the bright side and the best possible point of view. Number 10, charity rejoiceth not in iniquity. It bears no malice toward others. Now, we all go through hard times, and certainly when that happens, the exercise of love should come into play, but not to say, ha, I'm glad that happened to them. That's a horrible thing, but that's called malice. Charity doesn't engage in that. Jesus, as he stood and looked over the city of Jerusalem, he wept. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that I sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered you under my wings as a hen gathereth her chicks, but you would not. It broke his heart. So we don't rejoice in iniquity. But number 11, charity rejoiceth in the truth. Love enjoys all things that are related to the truth of the Bible. It loves the good report. When we hear reports of what God is doing through the evangelists that we support and souls that are being saved, love rejoices at that. Praise the Lord. Love loves Bible teaching and preaching. I hope you do. It's not something to be despised, but something to be enjoyed and a blessing. Most love, you know, like to dig into the Word of God. Let me give you three scriptures from the book of Psalms, the Word of God Psalm 119. Verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. This is love. It rejoiceth in truth. Psalm 119, verse 111, thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. And then Psalm 119, verse 162, this is, by the way, the longest chapter in the Bible, but it says in verse 162, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. God's word truly is like a buried treasure, only it's just a never-ending treasure. As many of you older saints, you've been saved for years and you started off learning the basics, and now you just, every time the Bible's preached, you learn something. I never knew that. That's how it ought to be. Because charity rejoiceth in the truth. Number 12, charity beareth all things, which is the essence of forgiveness. You know, the word forgive, to forgive means to put away. Jesus bare our sins in his own body on the tree, according to 1 Peter 2:24. Love beareth all things. Our Lord bore our sins on the cross. And we can bear the things that are done to us, and we can forgive, because forgiveness means to put that sin away and to suffer the cost ourselves. Charity believeth all things. Now, that doesn't mean that we're gullible, that we believe everything we hear, particularly today. If you watch the news, you better be careful. But charity believeth all things. That means that charity believes the best in others. And that's what we want to see. And what is the best in others? What is the best that I want to see in your life? Well, I'll answer that for you. It's God's best. And when I see God working in your life, I rejoice. And I believe that God is working. That's an exciting thing. It ought to be for you and for all of us. Number 14, charity hopeth all things. Love hopes for the best in others. I said that, didn't I? So I've got this list. Number 15, the last one. Charity endureth all things. Wow. That means that we're willing to suffer, if necessary, for the cause of Christ. And we do it out of love. And we say, well, that's a hard thing to ask, but I remind you that our Lord suffered far much more in order to go to the cross for our sins. He was long-suffering and he was willing to endure. In fact, the Bible tells us that he endured the cross, despising the shame, and now is set down at the right hand of God. And he did that for us. And so as the love of God is inculcated into our life through the Holy Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit begins to pop out of our life, and the things, you know, getting saved is a change in our life. And charity is the quality that he will produce. Well, I want to conclude by just sharing with you, or reminding each of us, of the call to love. In John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, Jesus spoke to his church and he said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another." And by the way, that's the word charity, the agape love. Not just a superficial friendship, phileo love, but this is the agape love, and that you love one another. And then he qualifies it by saying that ye also love as I have loved you. We have to love as Christ loved, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Philippians 1:9, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." None of us are perfect at this, but we ought to strive on for perfection, for maturity in our love life, if I can put it that way. That's what God intends, and that's what the Scripture teaches. In fact, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 12, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love toward another and toward all men." We need to love lost people, love their souls, so that we might win them to Christ. 1 John 3:11, "For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." 1 John 3:16, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." So this morning, I want to challenge every one of you, myself included, that we would look into the mirror of God's word. And as we look into that mirror, to inspect ourselves and ask the question, is the love of God flowing through my life? Or has self reclaimed that territory as it would want to do? Remember one thing, that love is always in season. Well, may God bless his word to our hearts today.
The preceding message was preached from the pulpit of Bible Baptist Church, Oak Harbor, Washington. You can find additional information about the church and our publications ministry on the web at bbcoakharbor.org. For further assistance with specific questions, please feel free to give us a call at area code 360-675-8311. Thank you for listening. Our prayer is that you received a blessing from the preaching of God's word.